Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are nearing the end of our studies, Seven Methods of Bible Study. Today we wish to take up the sixth dispensation, or the sixth economy that God has wrought in the earth, six different methods that we will touch on today with the conclusion of the broadcast today. We will have touched on six different methods that God has dealt with man. These are dispensations, they're economies. God has tested man under these different regimes. And today we wish to consider the dispensation of grace. In the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, we see a very vivid contrast between the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace. We read there, John the Baptist is the speaker. He's introducing the Lord Jesus. He's his forerunner. And he says of him, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." One translation has it, "but grace and truth subsists by Jesus Christ." Now I want you to notice these 16th and 17th verses of the first chapter of John's Gospel very carefully. They bear our closest scrutiny. Listen to what John says. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth subsist by Jesus Christ." Now Moses gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them the law, but he did not give them the power to keep it. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, we read of him, and "but," this is a pivotal conjunction. It's comparing. But grace and truth came or subsists, is substantiated, is carried through. He initiates it and he carries it through by Jesus Christ. And so we see that this is the difference between the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace. Now, the dispensation is ushered in by Christ, but actually, the dispensation of the law does not end until Christ dies for us on the cross. We will come to that later in the broadcast. And so, here we are in the last study and the comparison that the Lord ushers in. There's a kind of a lap here. The Lord ushers in the dispensation of grace. Oh, how gracious he was. Now, we read there that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and he gives the power to live it. That's the wonder of the Christian life. The wonder of the Christian life is that you and I are not saved by the grace of God. We are not given eternal life the moment that we trust in the Lord Jesus, believing that he died for us on that cross. We trust our eternity to him and just depend on the Word of God as being true and just taking it for our solace. God is satisfied with the work of Christ. He raised him from the dead. And if you please, my sins were placed on Christ when he hung on that cross. How did that happen? 2,000 years before I was born, my sins were placed upon Christ. Remember this, please. God is omniscient. He knew what I was going to do all my life, and he knew what you were going to do all your life. And he put those sins on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask a question. If one of those sins he forgot to put on Christ, could I go to heaven? No, I could not go to heaven. He put all our sins on Christ. And the fact that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead is proof positive that my sins are gone. Could he take my sin back into heaven? No. Could he lose me? Would I be the sheep that he lost? He cannot lose his sheep. And so it is that our Lord Jesus Christ is that wonderful Savior that gives us the power to live the Christian life. Now, let's read about Christ's attitude toward the law while he was here. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, we read here the words of our Lord Jesus himself. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The law prescribes sacrifices for the children of Israel when they sinned. Now, those sacrifices simply pointed forward to our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming events cast their shadows before. And the Lord says, I am not coming to destroy the law. I'm not coming for that purpose. I'm coming to fulfill it. I am going to be the one that takes away the sin of the world. Those Old Testament sacrifices just covered over the sin temporarily. They were saved on credit. They were saved before Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary. And we are saved afterwards. They were saved on credit. They got the benefit before the price was paid. We can look back at the cross. I like my position better. I can look back at the cross and say the word of God has been carried out, and I can see that my burden of sin is taken away. The sin that would have kept me out of heaven is gone and gone forever. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who says, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. It was written about me, and I have offered the sacrifice that really takes away sin. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments, one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now the kingdom of heaven on earth is yet to come in the millennium. That will conclude our broadcast of this series, the dispensation of the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now when that dispensation comes, that I believe that the people on earth will actually, what corresponds to their secular laws will be the Ten Commandments. They are perfect. If I understand this verse correctly, I'll read it again. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And that law will govern the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. That will correspond to the secular laws. Now, in Matthew chapter 22, we read an interesting portion there about our Lord. We've been talking about how that the Sermon on the Mount verifies the sanctity of the law by our Lord. Now, listen to the Lord in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, verses 34 to 40, inclusive. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, he was trying to catch him, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The fulfillment of the law is seen in love. Now, in this generation, I shouldn't call it generation, I should call it dispensation. That's exactly what it is. In this economy, love is granted to us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We read in Galatians, for instance, verses 22 and 23 of the fifth chapter of Galatians. Listen as I read them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now notice, please, against such there is no law. No law is needed if we have love in our hearts. Love in our hearts will make us fulfill the law. And we have that love. The Spirit of God shows forth the love of Christ in our hearts in this dispensation. Now the law, really the end of the dispensation of the law, occurs at the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50, we read these important words. And here again, the message is about our Lord Jesus. The 50th verse, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He died on the cross for you and for me. Now listen, please. Behold, and behold, the veil of the temple, pardon me, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now notice this, please. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This was an act of God. Now that veil kept everybody out of the holy place except the high priest, who could go in once a year. Now God, by this symbolic act, in tearing that veil, ripping that veil in twain, here it is again, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks went. Now that was an act of God. What is he saying? He's saying this: now the way into the holiest of all is available for everyone. Christ had died on the cross. The debt of our sins was paid. And now that was the end of the law. The law does not put me in favor. Now it's my association with Christ. And we've got to remember that. We must be associated with our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the dispensation of grace. His grace has saved us. We read in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. We're maintained by grace. And we're taken to heaven by grace. And all through this entire dispensation of grace, from the cross to the present time, has been where we followed our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we serve him out of love. You know, the Israelite had to serve the law out of fear. Is that a good motive? I would say not. We serve him out of love. We do his will because we want to, because we love to. He loved us first. He loved me first, the scripture says. We love God because he loved me first and gave his son for me. How wonderful it is. And now you and I, we do what we want to because we want to, because we want to please the Lord who died for us on that cross. Now it doesn't take any law, as we read in there in Galatians. There's, against such there is no law. We don't need a law. We just need the power to serve the direction of the Spirit of God and the direction of our Lord Jesus, that we might live for him and let Christ shine out through our lives. What a wonderful dispensation to live in. Our Father, we thank you today for these studies of the dispensations and of the triumph of the grace of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.